What's up, listeners? On this week's pod, we're going to talk some quarantine ideas and list the best sports video games of all time. Since all live sports are postponed or canceled, we're going to dive into the big NFL free agency news to get our sports fix. Note that we recorded this on Tuesday night, so shout out to Elvis for predicting Foles to the Bears. Of course, we'll play around to Stumptown, and then Coin and I will vent about some of our social media bugaboos. Let's do it. Delta Stadium, 12 o'clock. News. We are back. What up? Welcome to the Rookie Show. I am your host, Travis Knoll. Join with me as always, Elvis Coin. Oh, what up, Coin?
Oh, what up, Knoll? Doing swell. Feeling good in a turtleneck.
Yeah, Coin's looking extra knowledgeable today with his green turtleneck, and he was wearing his glasses. And no hat today, so which is noticeable.
The hat might come on. The hat might come on in the middle of the pod. We'll see. It depends on how long I want to look at my own bald head in the little corner.
No, I see. Oh, yeah. I don't know if I like looking at it.
I feel like I look like an author. Especially if I, like, hold my head up a little further and I sit up straight.
You look like the boyfriend of Christina and the other guys.
Oh, I'll gladly take that. Yeah. Here, honey, Arnold this one Palmer has the vodka alert. In it. Yeah.
So, day two of work from home for Coin. How's the quarantine going for you?
Honestly, I thought it would be worse. I'm very much a person who kind of craves and needs to interact with people to survive. I just get bored by myself very, very easily. And so I like going into work. I like being at work. But I would say that this has actually been pretty good. It's nice that Joe is also working from home, so we can just kind of chill out in the middle of whenever. But honestly, I think I work harder when I'm from home because I want to get done quicker so I can do other stuff.
See, so you have like a set amount of things and like an amount of things that you need to get done that day. And once you get them done, you can do whatever. Is that kind of?
I mean, not right now because the reason I'm working from home has thrown a wrench into everything. And so I just am working harder, like doing a lot more random stuff. But so more or less, though.
Once you feel like you've put in a good day's work.
Yeah, I can be done.
See, I'm in a weird spot where I'm like transitioning to a new job where there's like a ton of stuff that I need to learn at some point. So there's always more for me to do. And like yesterday was the first time I worked from home and I can't motivate myself to work hard from home. I can't do it.
Yesterday was the first one where it was like a planned, like this is what everybody's doing now. So you kind of are on a schedule. Where I've done it before, it's pretty, I know that I'm going to have nothing to do that day. And so yesterday was somewhat of a struggle. Like I was like, I can just sleep till 7:45 and then roll out of bed and pop right into my desk chair and start working.
Yeah.
And it was hard. I forget that I like to wake up and then scroll on Twitter for like 20 minutes and then go do stuff.
Do you have any, like, advice or solutions or ideas? I guess, I don't know, this doesn't necessarily have to be for people who are working from home, but it can just be after work if you're quarantined in your own home. Any thoughts on that?
Right. So, unfortunately for us, our like, playing device, we have a Roku on our big TV.
Mm.
And the big TV, luckily, decided to break on Sunday. So,
wow.
Right going into our possible month working from home being quarantined, so that's awesome.
Break as in like what's broken on it?
It shuts off when we plug stuff into the HDMI ports. I don't understand what's going on with it.
That's an issue.
Yeah, it's a huge problem, but which also sucks because I love to watch TV and movies, and I don't know if you've seen any of this stuff about these big production companies possibly just like releasing movies to rent for $45 or $50, like instead of going to the theater.
Yeah.
I'm super interested in that.
Are there specific movies coming out that you're trying to buy?
Not necessarily specific ones. Just, I mean, I feel like I'm more inclined to, if I don't have to travel and I can just watch it with like Joe and I just split a movie, like that's easy money. Well, especially since the coronavirus like delayed a bunch of movies, which sucks butts.
Delayed everything.
Yeah, delayed everything. What about you? You got any tips for working from home?
Working from home, so I saw somewhere, I'd say definitely shower and get dressed into something you might wear to work, which I'm not going to do. I think that's good advice, though, because I'm a big sweatpants guy. But I think I would be more productive if I got up and put on, like, jeans and, like, a reasonable shirt, not, like, a jersey tee. I think I'd probably get more done just because I feel like I'm in a work clothes. I don't know.
I thought that too, and I know that's the thing you're supposed to do is wake up, get ready for work, like, and then sit back down. I'm a pretty big proponent of no jeans at home.
Yeah, I don't like wearing jeans at home as well. But so, if you're uncomfortable, it makes you feel less relaxed and therefore more likely to do work. That's my logic there.
I guess I could totally see that. My thing now is I'll do that if I have a meeting. Like, if I have to see some people, then I will do that. However,
yeah,
I spend the mornings. So I spent the last two mornings in sweats and then sweatshirt, like hood up, just like going full gargoyle on my computer. It's good.
Yeah, I hear you. So besides doing work at home, what did you do this weekend being advised to stay in when so many were partying for St. Patrick's Day? And what was your solution there?
So on Saturday, we were supposed to do this big bar crawl with like 25 people kind of at this fun stretch in the northwest of Portland. And that all got shut down pretty quickly. It was for a friend's birthday party, so I feel bad for her. However, we stayed in, we played games, and just, quite frankly, got housed at our apartment. We had like a full thing of White Claws, like a case and a half probably, and then also some mixed drinks. It was
this
a good night.
How many people?
Four of us. There were four of us.
Okay. That does sound like a good night.
Yeah, and then we played games all night, and it was a very good time. You know what I like is that if I'm not out at the bars and making myself get super like energetic and out of control, my hangovers aren't as bad, which is nice.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
You don't have the blood rushing through you as quick and
exactly. If I can keep my energy tame, like I'm not gonna get like blacked out and out of control and then wake up feeling terrible.
That's good. I like
that. Yeah.
Games is definitely a key. You gotta hone in on some board games, card games, things of that nature.
Definitely, and that's why thank God for cribbage, you know?
Cribbage is the best. So we, in Chicago, the St. Patrick's Day is like the biggest day of the year. Like last year, the entire city was basically like a can of sardines. You couldn't even walk a block downtown without scooting past somebody. And this year it was just deserted, except for certain bars were still open and there were still people in giant lines. So the news is showing all these 20-something-year-olds just piled into these bars despite all these things. And, of course, the next day, the mayor decides to shut down bars after thousands of people were packed into bars on Saturday. So I did not partake in that, but just goes to show how not seriously a lot of people, as of this past weekend, still aren't taking this.
Day late and a dollar short on that bar ban, I think, my guy.
Yeah. Sorry, J.B. Pritzker. Come on. You're better than that.
Is he, though? It sucks because honestly, let's see, for bar holidays, as far as bar holidays go, St. Patty's Day might be number one for like running around to different bars.
Probably.
Like stuff going on. People are day drinking.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw, but Butte America even canceled their St. Patty's Day bar crawls, which is crazy. That is the lifeblood of that town.
Yeah, they live for that all year long. It's like Stanley on Pretzel Day. It's basically they're just waiting 364 days for St. Patrick's Day in Butte.
Yes, and in solidarity with Butte, shout out Butte America. I think that next year I'm going to try to go back to try to inject some fuel into the economy for having the bravery to cancel this.
Oh, that's a really thoughtful thing of you to do.
Thank you.
Maybe I'll make the trip too.
Are you gonna have any beers tonight for St. Patrick's Day?
No.
Oh, okay.
There's some White Claws in the fridge. Maybe I'll have some of those.
I think I'm gonna go get some Guinness and then possibly drink some Jameson and then in honor of the Irish community, I will possibly even make myself an Irish car bomb just because I really like the spirit of it. Just yeah, a casual no. Tuesday. It's the best bomb drink, as everybody knows, and the ranking is as such.
Ooh.
Irish car bomb, sake bomb, 2. Jaeger bomb, 3rd. Do you feel like that is wrong?
I go Jaeger bomb, 1.
Whoa.
And then Irish car bomb, 2. Sake bomb, 3.
Really?
I've only done sake bombs, like, once, maybe? Mm-hmm. And I don't like Guinness. So, I like Jaeger, and I love Red Bull, so...
Yeah, I did not know that you liked Red Bull. I was going to ask. I don't think I've ever seen you, like, drink an energy drink, really.
Red Bull's the only ones I drink. Sometimes I drink the, like, flavored Red Bulls, but usually I'll just drink the plain Red Bulls.
So, Irish car bombs, I think, are the most fun because they're holiday-based. Or not even holiday-based, just, like, very... very holiday kind of specific, and there's a lot of people doing them on St. Patty's Day.
Yeah,
that's fair. Sake bomb has one of the most fun environments when you're around like a hibachi grill and doing the sake, 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 bomb, 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 and then you knock them in. Whereas yes.
That's true.
Jaeger bomb, you just kind of look like a huge D-bag.
I think when I was in Portland with you last, you guys did Irish car bombs and I did a Jaeger bomb because I didn't want to do
that. Does
Irish
sound
bomb.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. I stand by the D-bag thing.
Right, yeah, no, I'm not denying that aspect of it. I can tell you some fun things that I like to do when I'm at home alone.
Okay, tell me.
I like to play with my favorite toy, Microsoft Excel. You ever heard of it?
Yeah, I have heard of it.
Let me tell you what, that shit is fun as hell. You ever work with formulas?
Yeah. I love formulas.
Plug in some fantasy football data. Plug in your gambling spreadsheets. I could do that shit for hours. And that's not a joke. I am a huge nerd. But Microsoft Excel is fun. It's fun for hours.
I don't argue with you at all. There's a lot of fun things you can do in Excel.
If I can, like,
especially sport-based.
Yeah, like, I've been modifying my gambling spreadsheets such that I can just plug in, like, my bet and what sport it was on and how much I bet and how much I won or lost and what month it was. And then I have it all rigged. So it tells me on the column on the right side, what my totals were for January, what my totals were for NFL bets versus NBA bets. There's no reason to have any of this, but it's just really fun to me. So there you go.
I really like that. And of course I like the ease of doing it. Every time I try to make a Excel spreadsheet for my gambling bets though, it goes south pretty quickly, and then I get all sad that I'm losing so much money, so I just stop tracking it.
Yeah, I lost a big one today.
I had Brady
to the Pats. That was not good. We'll get more into that.
Okay.
So something more common that people are probably doing a lot in the quarantine is playing video games. Are you a big video gamer, Coin?
I used to be a really big video game guy. Call of Duty specifically, I would play a lot of like PlayStation 3 Call of Duty, and I was, to toot my own horn, I was pretty fucking good. I had like a kill death ratio, like up over 4 at one point. It was pretty sweet. Definitely went like 36-0 one time. Any hoosers?
Wow.
I have fallen
like
off of it.
That's incredible. That's so cool, man.
Thanks, dude. Do you really think so?
No, not at all.
Okay, good.
Not a big gamer over here, but there was this tweet going around recently about sport-themed video games, and this is a sport-themed podcast, so I'm going to ask you, Coin, to tell me, if you could choose 3 sports video games that you were allowed to play for the rest of your life, and only those 3,
right?
Which would you choose and why?
Okay. Do you want me to go all 3? How am I doing this?
Who knows, man? You decide. Why don't you go? Give me. You have any on Menchie's?
Not really. No.
Okay. Well, give me your number 3 then.
Okay. Just as a disclaimer, all of mine are PlayStation 2 based video games.
Wow.
For sports,
because okay.
It was the pinnacle. Yeah. In 3rd place.
Yes.
3rd.
Mm-hmm.
I have Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2.
Okay, and what's your reasoning?
Hangar was one of the sickest maps ever built.
Mm.
And just grinding back and forth in that, I think that it's career mode, essentially, for Tony Hawk is actually really good. And like you can spend hours and hours just completing little stupid tasks on every level.
Okay.
Also, I was obviously Rune Glyphberg, and my special move was Christ Air, which is the sickest move in the game.
Can you tell me that name one more time?
Rune Glyphberg.
Rune Glyphberg. What a name. Is he white?
Wait, yes. Yeah, he was a skateboarder. Rune is white. So.
Okay, cool. Yeah. All right, what's number two?
Number two for me, Madden 2004.
Okay, this is interesting. This will come into play on my list. What's your reasoning for 04?
This is Mike Vick on the cover.
Of course.
You got Minicamp Edition, and this is Michael Vick. So this is right after I kind of got into football more and I became a Falcons fan, so this was like the perfect storm. And then Vick in the 2004 Madden was an absolute cheat code. You just run the Hail Mary play, and then you take off with Vic, and congratulations, you have a free 30 yards.
Yeah, probably unfair. The greatest sports video game character of all time.
Yes. I do have an honorable mention here, but it sounds like it might be in yours, so I'm just going to leave it.
Okay, leave it.
Should I? Okay.
No, go on. What's number one?
Number one for me, NBA Street Volume 2.
Okay. Interesting choice.
So, I've got more for this one. You've got current stars versus legends in the game. You got AI, Ben Wallace, Baron Davis, Shaq, Dirk, KG. You can play as Michael Jordan, Jerry West, and my personal favorite, Dr. J, who is definitely the most fun in the game. That's not even to mention Bonafide.
What is Bonafide?
Bonafide is one of the game characters who was sick as hell.
Like a made-up dude?
Yeah, a made-up dude. I think he rocked a do-rag and just a super tight wife beater.
All right.
He was really good at the slip and slide.
Is this 5-on-5?
3-on-3.
3-on-3, okay.
And then they're all in, like, parks and stuff. Like,
right, okay.
Yeah, like New York. Insane soundtrack. Live on stage. They reminisce over you. Chief Rocka, which are three songs I know you haven't heard.
Correct.
And then, fourth, Not in My House by Nelly.
Oh. Yes. I've also not heard that, but Nelly.
What?
Nelly.
Not in my house. Ba-bow, ba-bow, ba-bow. You can't get me on the wall.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
That one, yeah.
Okay, good.
Also, Game Breakers were dope as hell. And then Off a Heezy trickled into normal gameplay, like when we were in grade school and stuff, and you could throw a friend at your ball's face. You could throw a ball at your friend's face.
You could throw a friend at your ball's face? That's amazing.
Off a Heezy was dope. So that's my three.
Okay, that's a good list. I do have a few unmentions. None of those are on my list.
None of those? Like to, good. I'm glad.
I'd like to give an unmention first to ATV Off-Road Fury 2.
Yes! A great choice! Oh,
the game that came with the PS2 when you bought it.
Yes, this is definitely my package.
It's a total mystery to all involved if there was ever an ATV Off-Road Fury 1. Nobody's ever heard of it or played it. They just went straight to 2. I don't really have anything other than if you haven't played it, you know. If you know, you know. I like the level. Know. What's the level called where you get on the train? There's a train going on, and you try to
scoop your way to the front of the
train. Yeah,
oh, yeah, that's yeah,
the
best part. That game also has "What's Golden" by Jurassic 5, the sickest song in the game. You just put it on repeat.
Most of these games, you just find the one or two best songs, and you shut every other song off.
Pretty underrated aspect of 2000s games. Awesome soundtracks.
Agreed. Agreed. I don't play a lot of games these days, but I can't imagine they're nearly as good.
Mm-mm.
Speaking of that, on Menchi, Tony Hawk Pro Skater for 64 was a very solid game as well. You could play Horse, which was very good.
Skate.
And they had the best song on that was Superman, which is like, here I am.
Do you know who it's by?
I don't.
Goldfinger.
Mm.
There was a lot of ska. Yeah, there's a lot of ska music on Tony Hawk's Tony Hawk's Pro Skater.
Yeah,
I think there was like two or three Real Big Fish songs in there.
I like when it did like the record scratch when you like crash. And,
yes, yeah,
just epic. My last on menchie, which I wanted to put in my list but couldn't find a way to do it.
Are these all honorable mentions?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
NFL Fever for Xbox Original. You ever play that game?
Never heard of this game in my life.
They came out with three versions, 2002, 2003, 2004. Peyton Manning was on the cover of every one. I guess they had a deal with him. I don't really know.
Was it called NFL Fever, and then they used Peyton because he had, you know, when you check your temperature and you have a fever, you put your hand on the forehead? Is that why they used Peyton Manning?
Oh, it's multi-levels of
cleverness. Yeah.
All I know is you could play this like career mode where you'd play against all these fake made up teams and they get harder and harder. It's like a tournament type thing. It was really fun. For all you NFL Fever stands, get at me.
Is it better than Blitz?
I'm not a big Blitz guy.
Really? The cheat, like the not cheat code. Wait, are they cheat codes? I don't know, whatever they are. Where you give your guy like the flaming skull and the giant head and stuff?
Yeah.
Not into it? Yeah. Okay.
I'll tell you what is my number three sports video game of all time. We're jumping back to the PS2. You already know. NBA Ballers.
Ballers!
You got Stephon Marbury on the cover. It's a one-on-one basketball game. You can also play one-on-one-on-one, basically 21 style, which
that's
is
sick. I didn't
sick
know that.
As hell.
That's cool.
The best move that you could pull was called Sagging Deuces, which is...
I've heard you talk about this a lot.
You could also do Off the Heezy. I think they called it Off the Heezy in this game, which they probably stole directly from NFL Street, but I'm pretty sure. They had one that I believe was Back to Papa, which was just throw it
off
the
backboard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Phenomenal game. You could be all the legends. Larry Bird, Magic Johnson. Vince Carter was probably the best. He was the one that you didn't have to unlock. So, NBA Ballers. Next, number two, I'm going Madden 06 with Donovan McNabb on the cover.
Okay.
Mainly because the top two songs on that soundtrack were The Beast by Tech N9ne. solid.
Because I'm a beast. That
yes.
one.
And then, obviously, the number one was Dance Dance by Fall Out Boy.
Oh, so sick. Have I ever told you that the first concert I ever went to was a Tech N9ne concert, and I drove from Big Timber to Helena to watch Tech N9ne?
I don't know if you told me that.
That's the first time I ever saw weed, and I was like, oh my gosh, what's that?
And now you live in Portland.
And now I live in Portland.
One thing you didn't mention was Madden 04 soundtrack had Feeling This by Blink 182 on there.
Ooh, I didn't mention the soundtrack on that one. I should have gotten digged in. So you mentioned Madden 06. I thought you were going to go Madden 07, which was my honorable mention.
Was that Vince Young?
Oh, no. Sean Alexander.
Oh, gross. Ew.
However, this is the Madden that introduced the truck stick.
07 was?
Yeah. Truck stick
was important.
Yeah.
If there's any Seahawks teams that I hated more than like the 2013 Seahawks, it's the Sean Alexander, Matt Hasselbeck Seahawks. I think the last three times the Redskins have been in the playoffs, they've been bounced by the Seahawks. So
that's a huge bummer.
But I'm a Russell Wilson fan now. So
do you remember when that truck stick came out and you could just run down the field like, keep pressing it and your guy would just like dip his head every time and you'd go
like when no one was around you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
An underrated thing in some of those old like PS1 Madden games is you could run into the goalpost and you'd fall down.
Yeah.
And then if you snap the ball while somebody's on the ground, they just slide around the ground for the rest of the play. Incredible.
It was so good. Also, those, it's like 04 to 07, for some reason, they never fixed the spin button, so you could spin like 8 yards laterally.
Nobody could ever
tackle you. LeSean McCoy was the best player to ever be in that game, I think.
All right, so this is a bit of a cheat for those of you at home, but the best sports video game of all time is Mario Kart 64. It's a racing game. Don't try to tell me racing's not a sport.
It's a sport.
It's the best.
You're trying to finish before. Yeah. Also, a great soundtrack.
And Toad's the soundtrack. What's the Koopa Troopa Beach? Or Calamari Desert?
I think we both off.
Pretty good.
I was doing like a Blue's Clues thing.
I'd say Toad. It goes Toad, then Wario, then Donkey Kong. What are the three best characters?
Yoshi is definitely the best, and then Peach, and then Wario. Oh, go on.
No, I have a word that I'd like to call Peach, but it's not appropriate.
Yeah, we're not supposed to say it. Graham, you know what it is.
Yeah. What are we going to ask?
How do you feel about Wii Mario Kart?
It's better than most video games, but it's fine. I don't know. I would never use the steering wheel.
You wouldn't?
No.
Oh, we had steering wheel. I definitely would use it.
Yeah, I'm out on the steering wheel. Just give me the controllers.
Okay. Definitely doesn't compare to the original, though. No,
it doesn't.
Okay.
Okay.
What's your favorite level in Mario 64? Koopa Troopa, right?
It's a classic. I mean, I've become quite fond of a lot of levels. I'd say Sherbert Land is up there.
Really?
Sleeper pick? I don't know. I was trying to think of one nobody would think of.
Okay.
Sure. It's not Rainbow Road. If you think Rainbow Road's the best level, you're an idiot.
If you are playing and you do winner gets to pick and you pick Rainbow Road like fourth or fifth race, you can just get out of my house.
You can get out.
You can get out. Bowser's Castle is awesome.
BC, yeah.
Koopa Troopa is where you're going to want to start.
Yeah. Anything can happen in the desert.
And anything can happen in the desert. That's what you do when you're playing with your loser friends who can never win, like Grant. What do you do? How do you feel about taking the shortcuts on Wario's? Wario Raceway.
I think it's a skill, and I'm okay with it, but I'll only do it if the group allows. It needs to be decided beforehand if it's allowed.
Right. I personally am against it.
If you're good at Mario Kart, you should learn how to do the shortcut on Wario, and you should get good at it, and then it's a skill.
That's fair.
Everyone should do it. And if you
maybe it's just that I can't figure it out.
Yeah, it's probably yeah. You.
Okay, that's fair.
All right, those are our rankings of sports video games. Please let us know what ones we missed, but I don't think we missed any.
No, I thought about giving 2K12 a nod. 2K was pretty fun when we were in college. I played a lot of that.
Yeah, we didn't list any games that came out in the last 15 years, I don't think so.
Games of the last 15 years are whack.
Yeah, good point.
Oh, FIFA, though. I give an honorable mention to FIFA.
Okay.
A lot of beers have been drank to that game.
So the only thing we can do these days is play virtual sports because we are in an eternal sadness of no live sports. Coin, how are you powering through this time?
I guess I knew how much I enjoyed sports and watched them and consumed everything about them, but I didn't realize like how big of a bummer it was going to be if it was all just taken away from me at once.
Yeah, it is quite the bummer. Would have been interesting if this happened during football season. I'm glad it didn't.
Oh my God, I've been so mad.
It would have been brutal. But like, not having any sports. I mean, I don't care that much about baseball these days. Right. But basketball playoffs, it's a bummer. March Madness being canceled is the worst, though.
We were robbed of Selection Sunday. Everybody bitching about their team not getting in. We miss a team celebrating the not in tournament, mm-hmm. And then we didn't even get to fill out brackets or do anything with coworkers. It's like one of the. I have coworkers that I don't see other than this time of the year. They just come in and they're like, hey, are we doing brackets now?
Bracket. What's up? Bracket Ted.
Bracket. What up?
We were going to talk on this pod before this all happened about bracketology. And I would like to mention that like Joe Lenardi, his entire life is dedicated to just guessing what the bracket's going to be every week from like November, not even, probably like October through March. And he basically just wasted an entire year for nothing. He literally is had the most worthless job of anyone in the country. But there he is. And if you ever watch him on his show, he's usually wearing some like hideous brown sport coat with like jeans, and he's a real small guy.
Yeah,
he's just this little goat.
Yeah,
he looks like the Underminer from The Incredibles, basically.
The Underminer.
That's what we'll call him from now on. So, ooh. Joe Lunardi, really, really bad job by you this year.
What a flex to get. Is he an ESPN guy? Or yep. CBS, ESPN,
no, ESPN,
to just
yeah.
convince this massive corporation that they should have somebody full-time on staff. He's got to make like 75K or something like that, because
yeah.
he has a big enough profile.
Yeah.
All he does is just fill out meaningless brackets all year long. What a joke of a job. Incredible.
But also, it makes it, it waters it down. It's just like when he releases what he thinks the bracket's going to be every week, so... The surprise is almost not there anymore on Selection Sunday. Like, how much better would it be if we had no idea and all you had was, like, the top 25 rankings and that's it? And you had, you know, people talking about it like, oh, I think this team could be a 7 seed or whatever. But if people didn't have mock brackets, which as recently as probably 10 years ago, that really wasn't a thing, right. So much more exciting.
I agree. I mean, I don't understand the point. I've just... There's also no way to hold him accountable for what they're doing. Like, it doesn't matter if he's right or wrong. It's just
yeah.
like it's just like with the draft.
Yeah.
Like with draft experts Mel Kiper and what's the other guy's name?
Todd McShay.
Those guys, they create these bracket. They're oh, this is our first round mock draft. We do a full mock draft here, all 256 picks. Like, you really think that this guy's going to get anywhere close to who the Buccaneers are selecting in the fifth round this year? Oh, compensatory pick time. Here's a secret pick from Roger Goodell. I don't really understand. Like, what is the point of this job? These two guys are full-time doing this, and they're never right. They've never been even close to right.
All right. Let me ask you a question.
What's up?
If you were coming up with a sports movie, and you had to come up with the name of... two boxers.
Okay.
And you came up with the names Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury.
Right.
For the boxing name. Everyone would be pretty impressed. Like, damn, those are two good boxer names for your movie.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you had to come up with an NFL draft movie and you had to come up with the names of the two guys that just super analyze the NFL draft. And you came up with the names Mel Kiper Jr. and Todd McShay. Which would you be more proud of?
One of them has to be a junior. So people are like, oh, maybe this guy is like from a long line of like NFL families. Like, he has to be in there somehow.
Exactly. You have to have a junior in there. Yeah.
And then the other, Todd McShay, is this startup young buck who looks like he's like maybe he could be anywhere from 26 to 45. And we have no idea if he's worked in NFL franchises. Todd McShay and Mel Kiper Jr. are pretty perfect.
Perfect
pretty perfect
names.
But
you
if they were
much better.
I think that the Deontay Wilder, like we talked about, these guys' names would have to be Brick Drafter and something else, just like directly
yeah.
in line with the NFL
that's
draft.
That's a good point. So the boxers are still there, but you can't do much better than that.
No, it's true. One of my favorite tweets ever is about Mel Kiper Jr. And it's about how he comes around once a year and we just see how much closer he's progressed to looking like an owl.
That's accurate. Do you see that four Brooklyn Nets have coronavirus?
I did see that.
Which probably means Lakers have coronavirus.
ESPN, let's go ahead and chill out with the breaking news on every single player that gets coronavirus. I don't know if it's breaking news, you know?
Yeah.
I'm over
There's
it.
Like thousands of new cases. Okay.
Fair and enough. Then Kevin Durant just got coronavirus. He deserves it for
Wait,
what he
are
did
you,
going to the Warriors.
Are you talking about the servant?
The servant. Yeah, sorry. The servant. This is a good tweet about how apparently coronavirus can get transferred from humans to snakes now.
Okay, well, I would say that brings us into the exciting news of the day, which is basically NFL free agency, which is really just keeping us afloat.
I feel like a crackhead who just found like a big gold mine and I'm just a big gold mine of crack, and I'm just in the corner smoking away. This was exactly what I needed to break it up.
So let's start with, I'll give you some of the moves that have happened and you can give me your thoughts. So seems like the first thing that really set everything off was DeAndre Hopkins getting traded from the Houston Texans to the Arizona Cardinals. What was funny about this in real time was it started out as all these tweets from Adam Schefter and stuff that said, David Johnson being traded from the Cardinals to the Houston Texans. We don't know what the Houston Texans are giving up in return. Which is like, who cares? David Johnson was good 2 years ago. He was trash last year. So, okay, trash running back. Then it comes out that they're getting arguably the best receiver in the league in return. How did this happen?
How does Bill O'Brien have a job? How are NFL GMs? There's like three that are good. I don't understand what they're doing. The initial, same with what you were saying, was David Johnson going to the Texans, and people were like, God, if they're giving up like a third round pick, that's too much. Like, no, they're giving up DeAndre Hopkins. What? What are you talking about?
I feel like there's often deals like this where everyone sides with one side of the deal, but it's maybe not as bad as people think. But there's so many, way too many of these deals in sports in general that everyone in the moment knows that it's a horrible trade, it's a one-sided trade, and it's not going to work out. I can promise you right now, Hopkins is going to be awesome, and David Johnson isn't going to do shit for the Houston Texans. So how is it possible that this guy can, and this isn't the first time he's done it. He's made horrible moves as a coach and a GM for years, and every Houston fan knows it. So it just doesn't make any sense. Is this guy made a deal with the devil? Like, how is he still in power?
This seems like a classic. This guy has pictures of the owner with like strippers or something in Vegas, and so he can never get fired. Like, that's the only way that's defensible for this guy to still be there. Doesn't make any sense. He made a trade. I think he traded away a second or third round pick last year for Duke Johnson to the Browns.
Yep.
Also traded like two first round picks for Laremy Tunsil, and then gave away Jadeveon Clowney. I don't, whatever Bill O'Brien's doing makes no fucking sense.
Maybe the bigger question is, like, there's so many people around him. How are all the people under him and around him? Unless he's just making these back alley deals by himself. That's the only explanation, right? Like, how is not everyone in the room going, we are getting absolutely hosed on this trade?
Maybe everybody thinks it's funny and they just need this to happen for him to be gone. They're like, if we just let him do this, this is the last one, it'll be done. It just, this was all made so much worse by the fact that a day later today, Diggs got traded for a first round pick and a fourth round pick and a fifth round pick. What?
Who's clearly not as good.
What is Diggs? Is Diggs what, the 10th, 11th best receiver in the NFL? Maybe.
I picture it was like a sarcastic comment situation that Bill O'Brien was being serious. Like, he's like, we should go get David Johnson. He's like, oh, what can we give up to get him? And he's like, we can give him DeAndre. Like, everyone's like, haha, good one. But he was being serious. He's like, yeah, let's give him DeAndre. Like, you were serious?
You were serious? Maybe it was the opposite way. Steve Keim was like, what can we get? And he's like, David doesn't have that slap. He's like, what are you willing to give up? About DeAndre Hopkins. Yeah. Bill O'Brien's like, David Johnson is a good running back.
Okay. Okay. Steve Keim's like, oh, okay, that's good. Okay, so that one was big. Stephon Diggs to the Bills, right?
Yeah. I'm excited. I like the idea of Josh Allen overthrowing Stephon Diggs and him throwing a tantrum on the sideline. It'll be fun.
It's pretty hilarious to think how Stephon Diggs bitches for a year plus about having to play with Kirk Cousins, and now he's going to play with Josh Allen, who can't throw. Say what you want about Kirk Cousins, and maybe he doesn't take enough shots, and maybe the fact that Josh Allen likes to sling it will be enough for Stephon Diggs that he'll get thrown at. But guess what? Kirk Cousins is better at throwing the football than Josh Allen. So
throwing the football is a pretty important part of being a quarterback, I would say, actually.
Would you say top four?
Top three, at least, I would say, yeah. Right. And so Kirk Cousins being demonstrably better at that than Josh Allen and sending a receiver who has been pissed about throwing is a recipe for success, I would say. Maybe the Vikings GM had just had enough of Diggs's shit, and then he didn't even tell him he was getting traded. He just sent him a picture of himself, like, giving him the middle finger. He's like, you can go play with Josh Allen now.
Probably the biggest news, which has been developing all day, Tom Brady this morning announces, I'm not coming back to the Pats. And then as of an hour or two ago, pretty clear that Tom Brady will be going to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to replace our beloved Jameis. Your thoughts?
I'm sad to see Jameis leave my division. So I don't know if you know this, but now the NFC South has 3 of the top 10 passing quarterbacks of all time.
By passer rating or by
passing yards?
By passer yards. Okay.
Yeah, Matt Ryan's in 10th place, about to pass John Elway, and then Breeze and Brady are number 1 and 2. This is crazy. I couldn't believe he was actually leaving. Even when he made that post, there was a part of me that was like, I'll believe it when he signs somewhere else. We'll see. Yeah.
One other thing to think about for the time being, I know it's going to be short lived, but there are currently all 4 quarterbacks in the NFC South have won an MVP.
That's wild.
That's wild, right?
Wait, has Breeze won an MVP?
Yeah.
Even last year?
I see. No, I lied. So wait.
Super Bowl MVP.
Okay, maybe Super Bowl. Either a Super Bowl MVP or MVP.
Okay. I'll take that.
Did Breeze win an MVP?
I don't think Breeze has an MVP. Okay. Because that was the thing, was that he was maybe gonna win it this year or last year. I can't remember.
Let's see what Google says.
Let's look it up.
Let's just double check it.
Just in the meantime, while you're looking that up, it's gonna be wild to see Brady playing with his best receivers since he had Randy Moss in Godwin and Mike Evans. That's gonna be crazy.
Yeah, it's weird because you're also going from you're going into a system that they just want to sling the rock, and we'll see if Tom Brady's arm strength can hang with that. But
I was gonna say, for all of his shortcomings, you can't fault Jameis for his arm strength. Like, that dude can straight up throw the football.
Yeah,
he's a cannon.
Yeah, I lied. So yeah, Drew Brees has not won MVP, but he has a Super Bowl MVP, and all 4 of those guys have made it to the Super Bowl. Right.
That's crazy.
So that's something. Now
Cam's next, on his way out. Yeah.
Yeah. Next big news: Cam on his way out. Teddy Bridge coming in to Carolina. I want to talk a lot about Cam and where you'd like to see Cam go.
Okay. Do you want to start with Teddy?
You could touch on Teddy. Your thoughts on Teddy? I don't have a lot of things.
Teddy Two Gloves. I'm glad I get to see some more of you this year. His start with the Saints is fun, and I like what they're doing, sending him from having Alvin Kamara in the backfield and then just going straight into having Christian McCaffrey. Like, I think that he could actually do some stuff.
I think he'll be fine. Teddy throws a belt, he'll be fine. We like those receivers. We talked about DJ Moore a lot during the season.
Right.
Both of us are fans of his, but I don't know. I don't see them competing. I think it's going to be a struggle to start, but I'm rooting for him.
Okay. We can go on to Cam now then.
Cam is very interesting. I love Cam. I get excited about seeing him in a lot of different uniforms. Do you have a preferred destination for Cam?
I would love to see Cam as a Bear.
I think that's the number one, right? How much fun that would be. Nagy got, he was coach of the year a couple of years ago, and then he got kind of a bad rap last year because of how bad Mitch Trubisky was. But I think if he had Cam as his quarterback, he could do a lot of fun things, and they have that defense. I just think the morale of that team was so low having to play with Trubisky.
The bare minimum. They do not like Mitch. I don't think he's fun to play with. It seems like Cam's teammates have always really liked him. Like, he does a lot for the communities. The guys seem to really rally around him.
Yeah.
I've said this before, how I think that the Bears have super sick uniforms. I think that people look cool in them. Cam is massive, and he's going to look badass in a Bear uniform.
Is there anyone who makes a football uniform look cooler than Cam Newton?
No, Cam Newton is swaggy as hell.
Is he the swaggiest dude?
He looks like so sick in a Panthers uniform.
The black with the teal, he just looked like a baller.
Jesus Christ.
That's all I can think about. I would Love to see him at the Bears. I think it would be pretty sweet to see him go to Denver as well. Same, ooh, similar uniforms. I don't know that they're looking for a quarterback, but you gotta
think they're pretty set on Drew Locke. I think they like what he's doing.
You gotta think that Elway would be intrigued by Cam if that was right. That poked its head out there.
What about some Las Vegas action? Talk about looking sick in a uniform.
Cam in a Raider uniform would be sick as hell.
Can I change my mind already? I want him in a Raider uniform. Yeah. He would look so awesome.
Let me ask you one more question about Cam.
Okay.
What would you set the over under for amount of time that it would take me to talk myself into Cam when the Redskins trade for him?
2 days. I'm going to give you two days.
Yeah, under, baby. Hammer the under.
Oh, you're in already?
I'm talking myself in immediately. If you ask me right this second, do I want the Redskins to trade for Cam? The answer is definitely no.
What do you think you would... I can't imagine you'd have to give up that much.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of wish... I don't know how much... I mean, they're not going to want Haskins. The problem is, if we make a big trade like that, teams are going to be asking for that number two pick, which would be a horrible trade. I mean, I'd rather either take, if we can get Cam and not give up the number two pick,
I'd probably talk myself into it. You would not have to give up the number two pick for Cam Newton.
You don't think?
If they were straight up, I was going to ask if you would do a third round pick. So yes, you would do a third round pick for Cam.
Oh my God. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Oh my God.
All right. I'm in. Okay. Cam to the Skins. He would make a
Cam to the Skins. And then you also get Chase Young. Yeah. That's not bad.
Other big news, Phil Rivers of the Colts, your thoughts?
I can't believe that Phil got $25 million a year. I'm pretty surprised. And he looks, they posted a picture of like the edited ones with him in the Colts uniform. He just looks exactly like Peyton did. They're just kind of built the same.
I think they have a chance to be good, right? Why wouldn't they be good? He's going to have a way better offensive line. And that
way
was
better
his
offensive
biggest
thing. Line? Their defense is really good.
Defense is good. Now, I don't think their weapons are quite as good as what they got in San Diego. Or San Diego, L.A.
They've got some fun backs, and I think that Phil knows what to do when you don't. Like, Melvin Gordon thought he was a bell cow back, and I think he does better when you don't need that. Like, their offense was much better when they were just going to Eckler.
Yeah, I think if they can get him, I don't know if they are keeping Ebron or one of those tight ends, but he likes having a tight end around. If they can get him maybe another weapon or two, they got a shot.
They got a shot.
It's a crappy division, so who knows?
Yeah, that AFC South is just weird. What a weird place.
Thoughts on Dak franchise tag for a year?
They're playing with fire down there. I know that I'm not sold on Dak Prescott, but you're playing with fire.
This
like
is
making your young quarterback mad.
This is the exact same scenario as what the Skins did with Kirk Cousins. It's the exact same thing. They kept franchise tagging him, and he's going to leave. And I put them kind of on the same level, all right? Who's better?
Dak and Kirk. Right now, I'd probably still rather have Kirk, I think.
Dak has such distinct statistics when you look at his like versus good teams and versus bad teams. Like he beats up on bad teams and he loses to good teams. So
they are the same player.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Good point. That's Kirk. Yeah. That's Kirk as well. So there you go.
It's Kirk to a T. Yeah. I just, it does worry me. I mean, I don't know who else you're getting in free agency unless maybe the Cowboys could trade for Cam.
That would be gross. I would be really upset if that happened. That's like the one place I couldn't root for Cam.
Yeah.
I don't
you
know why.
Buy a Cam Newton jersey tee?
I will 100%. Cowboys I might one. Buy. I probably will buy a Cam Bears jersey if he comes here.
That would be sweet.
If he comes to Chicago, I'll probably buy that.
One more Cam note. It kind of bums me out that I don't think that, for some reason, I just don't think he would look that great in the baby blue Bolts uniforms.
The baby blue what?
Chargers uniforms.
I don't see Cam Chargers. I wouldn't like that. No. I wouldn't like that. I agree with that.
Okay.
All right, good. We're in agreement. Any other guys or spots that I missed that you wanted? Well, the one I especially want to talk about is where do we want our beloved Jameis to go?
Oh, this one's up in the air, and I think that my preferred destination is the place I just mentioned. I want Jameis in LA. Let's get him to the Chargers.
I think Jameis would look so weird in a Chargers uniform.
Yeah, he would.
It would be kind of fun. It would be kind of fun. They're going to be dysfunctional as hell. Is there any part of you that wants to see him go to the Pats?
No, because if he did really good, I'd be so pissed off.
You would?
That the Pats were just good again? Okay, I was talking about this yesterday. I'm in this weird place where I want the Patriots to be bad, but I also want them to be good to prove that Brady was a system quarterback. But I also, I don't know. I'm in the weird place.
If this next year's Super Bowl was Jameis and the Pats versus Brady and the Bucks, who would you root for?
Oh, my God.
Gotta be Jameis beating Brady in the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, Jameis beating Brady in the Super Bowl would be amazing.
I think I'm rooting for that because it's just the weirdest scenario. You have freaking Jameis in a Patriots uniform. They've had 20 years of the most reliable, level-headed quarterback, and now you have Jameis effing Winston. Like, how much fun that would be. Somebody put a comment on an Instagram post like, I'm just picturing Jameis jogging over to the sideline towards Belichick after his third pick of the game. And it's just a hilarious thought.
It is really funny. It'd be really funny to see him squinting by Belichick. They're both like Belichick scowling and then Jameis doing his squint, watching his pick on the big board. It would be really good. I think the two places he probably can't go are New England and Oakland, or Las Vegas now, just because I think Gruden and Belichick would kill him.
Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah. I think he's likely to go San Diego. Or I keep saying that. Chargers, whatever they are.
What about no Chicago? You don't want Jameis in Chicago? That would be fun to watch every weekend.
No, I think Chicago would hate Jameis. He's just like he's basically an exaggerated version of Mitch Trubisky.
Okay.
I think he needs to go somewhere where like the Pats fans could contain him. The Pats fans have got to be in the weirdest place. Like, imagine if you have known nothing but Tom Brady. You just have no idea what to think at this point. So they have no expectations.
Here's one for you. What if the Bears trade for Matt Stafford and then Jameis goes to the Lions? How about that?
That would be fine. The Lions fans feel like they'd just be like, yeah, whatever. They wouldn't get too worked up about Jameis being crazy.
Okay.
I think I've seen a lot of things where like it really doesn't make sense for the Lions to trade Stafford just financially because I think they'd like owe him a lot of money or something like that. But I'd love to see Stafford go somewhere else.
Me too.
I think he's a baller. Yeah. What about the Red Rocket, Andy Dalton?
I don't have any Andy Dalton thoughts, to be honest with you.
My last free. Do we want the Jags to stick with Minshew?
Yes. Okay. Oh, this was another one I laid out. Was possible to get Foles to the Bears, I guess. Like, would you do Foles for Trubisky straight up?
I guess, yeah, but I have zero faith in Foles. Like, here's what I want to happen. I want Foles to go to the Chargers and it just to be a gross, like, nobody likes them. They probably suck. It's just disappointing. I don't know. For some reason that...
I don't wish that on my brother. That feels mean.
Oh, that's right. He has a Chargers tattoo, right? What does it say?
Yeah. It's that Bolt man.
Or what about Andy Dalton to the Chargers?
You know what? Andy Dalton isn't that bad. I would put him on the Chargers.
Where's your guy Joe Flacco going?
Oh my God.
Is he still playing?
Yeah, I guess. You know, Joe Flacco was higher up the career passing leaderboard than I really thought he was.
Yeah.
Same draft as Matt Ryan. And then, but he's like 11,000 yards behind or something like that.
Is Derek Carr going to stick with the Raiders? Is Mariota the starter? What's going on there?
That's so weird. I don't know what's going on there. This Derek Carr thing has been going on for like 2 years that they've been trying to get rid of him. I don't understand.
They paid him a lot of money and nobody wants him. That's what's happening. Yeah, I don't know who else we got. That pretty much covered everybody. Jacoby Brissett is another one. Is he a starter or is he a backup? He probably sticks in Indy.
Jake Brissett's a backup. Yeah, he's a backup.
Very good backup.
Very good backup.
So then I guess the last thing would just be the draft. How does that affect, how does any of these moves affect the draft? Where do you think Burrow, Tua, those guys end up?
I think that those guys are all going to end up in the same spot. And I, God, I hope that they do the draft kind of in a, I don't know. I don't understand how it can be TV friendly still. I don't know. Did you see somebody suggest about how they do a draft, a pick a night over like a month just to like give us something to talk about?
They pick a night. Like, what do you mean? Oh, a pick a night.
Like one team goes and then all of a sudden like you trade and then.
I think you're not remembering that 90% of the airtime is not actually showing what's happening at the draft. I mean, if you, they're still going to have guys at a desk, I'm guessing. Or even if not, they'll just have them, like they show highlights. That's a lot of what it is. And they'll able to show people's, you think people will have like draft parties, maybe just with like a few people, like just their families.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to have people over and watch the draft, I think.
No, not you.
Oh, I mean, like, yeah.
The players getting drafted. Like, yes, are they going to have?
Yeah.
So I think it'll still be worthy of watching. So I don't know. I'm excited. I have a lot of hope for the Skins these days, even though we just finished with almost the worst record in the league. But
yeah.
I'm getting high feed. So
wait, so I do want to know, I think the top five are going to mostly remain the same. I personally think that the Skins should take Tua, but that's just me.
I think Tua is going to look sick in a Dolphins uniform.
Yeah, he definitely is.
And they have a perfect setup because Fitzpatrick's perfect stopgap just to play all next season. Tua will sit out the year. Everybody loves healthy. Fitz, so nobody's going to get mad when Fitz has like his five-pick game. Everyone's like, whatever, he's the man. And Tua's going to look good in that. Burrow's going to be a Bengal. We'll take Chase Young. I think it'd be cool to see Herbert go succeed Stafford in Detroit.
Oh, that would be cool. They just signed Chase Daniel to a deal, which is weird.
Oh, did they? Oh, I didn't
Chase
know.
Chase Daniel just collecting my fucking paychecks for what, 10 good. Years now? He's after this contract, he will have made over $40 million in the NFL, having thrown 210 passes.
That's really good.
What a finesse, my guy. That guy should teach like an economics course at Harvard or something.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I liked it.
Yeah.
So last thing on free agent quarterbacks, Cam really expressed his opinion when the Carolina Panthers tweeted that we have allowed Cam Newton to seek a trade. He went back at them on social media saying, no, you guys are making me get traded. I want to stay. But the way he did it was a bit odd.
Why would you ever use that font if you weren't a third grader messing around with fonts in Microsoft Word?
It's not quite Wingdings, but it's like, what is this
Joker,
font called?
It's that Joker font, isn't it? Wait, let me see if I can get a name on it.
He used this font that like turns all the letters into like little shapes with dots and lines and patterns and stuff like that. It's a very strange choice of font. I don't know
strange is a nice way to say it.
It's hideous. So we're both out on the font choice for Cam, but it got my gears turning a little bit because you and I both take issue with a lot of things that people do on social media. So I wanted to rank our biggest social media bugaboos in terms of comments that people leave, captions, typical things that people put in their bios, whether it be, you know, maybe for you it's their Tinder bios, maybe it's their Instagram captions. So I wanted to briefly discuss those. Did you find the font?
Okay. I did find the font, so it's even better than I thought. There's actually a Carolina-based company called I Post My Way, and Cam Newton, I believe, is an investor.
Oh.
So the app costs 99 cents, and it has its own custom keyboards. And the font he used is called MVP Mode, which is his own specific font. So that's what he used.
Oh my goodness. This he is decided adding that. A whole other layer.
That's what he decided to like make an real font. It's not even like a made up one. How much time would you have to spend doing that?
At the bottom of his comment on Instagram, it should have been like made with so-and-so
at. Made with iPost my way.
iPost my way. All right, Coin, give me one of the social media bugaboos that you have.
One of my big ones is pretty much everything SportsCenter and ESPN do on social media just drives me insane. The way they post drives me nuts. They're always late to the party. They use the looking eyes and the surprised face way too much and the 100 emoji. Especially big middle finger to whoever told ESPN about people or calling people a bucket. You know, like, oh, Jamal Crawford was a bucket. That's so stupid. It was kind of cool the first time I saw it. They've been using it for like 3 years now, just about everybody, and it drives me absolutely insane.
I agree with that. When you got big corporate accounts like that, they're trying to sound like cool, hip youngsters. They're using like the splashing water emoji for like a shot. Right. They're using the fire flames. Yeah, that's bad. That's frustrating.
I'm out. I'm out on that.
I'm super out on, and I don't know that a lot of people are in on any of these, but anyone who posts happy birthday to someone who doesn't have an account on that social media just for attention. So, like, everyone does this, and they post a picture of their grandpa and say, happy birthday, Grandpa. I hope you have a great day. I love you so much. Don't know what I would do without you. Your grandpa's not on Instagram. Your grandpa's never going to see that unless you specifically show it to him. And oh, by the way, you could have just showed it to him and you didn't have to show all 160 of your followers. Amber.
Is this specifically at somebody? No, call him out.
I tried to think of a name that sounded like a girl that would do that.
That does sound like a girl.
But everyone does that. And it bothers me a lot.
Yeah,
I've probably done it. These are going to come off as hypocritical, but hey, you don't need to tell all of your friends that you're wishing your grandpa a happy birthday. Just tell your grandpa happy birthday.
I scroll past those on purpose. If I see them, I will purposefully not like them for that reason.
How do you feel about now the better friend that you have? The more pictures on your Instagram story their happy birthday post takes up, and the fewer words per post. So it's like happy, and then the next photo is birthday two, and then it's a picture of them kissing on the cheek. This bitch, and then it's like, we're best friends. How do you feel about those ones?
You'd be actually surprised to learn that I am completely out on that, and I think it's really stupid.
Okay.
I mean, as you remember from me posting about you on your birthday, which I did not do.
Right.
especially in line with that is the person who reposts every single one of those. So that it looks like they got like 8 birthday wishes, but it was really 2 birthday wishes, and 5 of the posts were from one person.
Yes.
Pretty stupid. I'm glad you mentioned the this bitch thing, though, because that is one of my big pet peeves, is about when you say happy birthday to this girl or this one right here. Why are you doing that?
Yes,
If a girl says happy birthday to this girl or love this girl, all that means to me is that they've only been hanging out for like 2 months and the other one hasn't done something tragically wrong to that other person yet. And that's the only reason they're still friends. And it will probably end within 6 months.
This girl, I have in quotations on my notes, this guy or this girl. It just bothers the shit out of me. I don't know why. I mean, this guy. And actually they do it. Sometimes it's boyfriend, girlfriend post too.
Oh, that's a, yeah.
Is that the most common one?
No, I think it's usually like friend, girlfriend to girlfriend.
Yeah, you're right.
Specifically in the recent friendship range. It's like,
if you're a listener and you feel personally attacked, you should. And you should
change
how you act.
This is a personal attack, and I'm definitely calling you out.
Right. Amber.
What else you got?
All right, my next one is, here's the thing. I'm totally cool with Throwback Thursday, Way Back Wednesday. Do all those. You can hashtag them. I don't care. Right. Don't say take me back when you're posting a vacation photo from, by the way, from 2 days ago.
Like, oh yeah. Gosh, take me back. Take me back to Polson, where I went on the floating dock and I had a beautiful sunset photo that made it look like it was Hawaii.
What I especially like about these is now people seem to be taking pictures explicitly for the take me back picture.
It's like their mood in the photo is like, I'm going to miss this place.
Oh, I'm glad you said mood. How do you feel about when they do it? So it's either take me back or it's mood. Like, how do you feel about those?
Would much prefer mood.
Okay.
I would. Mood's well, better. If it's like a Daniel Sally, just mood, that's all it says?
No, that's different. It's more caption. And it's just like a picture of you.
I'm okay with mood. I think. Okay. I haven't got an issue with mood. Okay. What's your next?
My next one. So whenever people are arguing about anything on Twitter or like debating something or just talking and there's a post under it, any kind of Twitter qualifier at the beginning of your tweet just pisses me off.
Don't say that's about you.
As a blank fan, I still support this. Like, yeah, I would hope you saw some fucking human decency that this kid with ALS, like, you're still sad that he died. Oh my God, that's crazy that a USC fan can be okay with a UCLA fan doing that. That's so idiotic. That and then the political ones. I fall into so many political threads where people are like, as a Democrat, I shouldn't even support this. I'm like, yeah, it means...
It's like 1-year-old child falls down a well and dies, and someone's like, you know, as a pro-choice advocate, even I feel that this baby deserves to live.
This might be too late for an abortion here. Yeah.
My number, I don't know how many you have left, but I only have one left. My number one bugaboo on social media these days is just one word that we need to get rid of on every caption of every Instagram photo of all time.
Okay.
That word is dysfunctional.
Okay. Go on.
Just because you post a fucking photo of you and your friends not looking at the lens and maybe somebody's not smiling and making kind of a funny face, or maybe it's your family in front of the Christmas tree and, oh, the bigger brother jumped and is piggybacking on the smaller sister. You guys have a dysfunctional family. That is hilarious. Oh, I love this dysfunctional family of mine. It's so dysfunctional.
This is all Amber. All this one girl is doing all of these things. We just went to her page and just saw all of these things.
Amber is a metaphor, but it's just dysfunctional. You're not dysfunctional. Like, you and your girlfriends, because you're not smiling, or maybe somebody's, like, you know, pants are coming down or something. That doesn't make you dysfunctional. It just makes you, you're posing for a quote unquote candid photo. So stop using the word dysfunctional.
They usually do it in like one of the weird texts where it's, you know, the SpongeBob meme where the beak out and it says the, you can't do that. It's always like in that text.
Right.
Kind of with like the various capitalized letters. Sometimes. Whenever you do that, it just looks like you're doing one of those stupid, like, small town ranch girl signatures from, you remember when we had text signatures in grade school? That's what it looks like.
You know a lot of small town ranch girls, don't you?
I do know a lot of small town ranch girls. I'm speaking very specifically from my childhood.
Okay.
I have a couple more. This one, it just bothers the crap out of me. Marrying my best friend is just so dumb to me. I'm sure that you have a post coming soon.
Even if I feel that way, I know how much shit you would give me, so I will never post anything like that.
I would just say, this is so stupid. Come on.
I posted an engagement, and I didn't say that, so...
I know you didn't. I was surprised. I thought it was coming. Yeah, that's. I'm just not going to go super into that one. It's just, it's dumb. Just don't do that. And then you left off a huge one that I'm actually surprised that you did, because this is one of your biggest passion
points. I knew
points.
There was something I was forgetting. Yeah. So
did I already mind you? Bring it up. You can have it.
No, I don't know what it is.
Oh, you don't know? Anytime you go anywhere and you had a really great weekend and then you say, Las Vegas won, us zero.
That is the worst one of all time. Yes.
How did you lose? You had a great time. You're kind of hungover, so you Vegas won, and then you have no? It sounds like you got some of them. No?
This is making my blood boil just thinking about people posting that. Oh, my gosh. If you post that, Just delete your account.
delete your life.
Delete your life.
And then my last one is very Bumble / Tinder specific. There's a three. This is like the Holy Trinity. This is the Spirit, the Holy, whatever, Jesus, God, all of it. If you have on your profile anything about The Office, anything about adventuring, and anything about tacos, it's an immediate swipe left for me. Those three usually come together.
Okay, you'd be surprised how often that happens. The Office, what were the second two?
Oh, sorry. This is the Holy Trinity of them. It's The Office, okay, adventuring, and tacos. Those three together specifically. And it's like a 35% of dating profiles have those three together.
So I am confused about the tacos. This is a new thing to me. I didn't know this was a common
point.
Be
pizza, interchangeable.
It's just like, it's like the one of the, like, feed me pizza and
feed me pizza and touch my butt. Like, that sounds pretty creepy. And I imagine if I did that in real life, you'd be pretty weirded out.
Right, exactly. Okay. Yeah. Adventuring, I know, is your favorite. What about love to laugh? You didn't say love to laugh.
Oh, love to laugh. That's just good stuff. I mean, who doesn't love to laugh? That's so quirky and original. That's my other favorite is when people put quirky in their profile. Like, is it quirky? If you're acknowledging it, I don't know.
Let me ask. You're the dating profile master. What percentage of
the DP
people that say not the DP master? That's something else. I'll explain it to you after the pod.
Thank you.
What percentage of people that put that they like outdoorsy things on their dating profile actually like to go outside?
Less than half, I would say. Like, you've been outside in the last month and you counted that? Okay, that's fine.
If you have a dating profile and you're from Montana, you're probably putting that you like outdoorsy things because you're expected to like those things.
Exactly. That's smart. That's kind of gaming the system, and so I respect it a little bit. It's like guys with the fish in their profile. Like, you got to have a fish to show you're a man. It's like a man qualifier.
Right. Okay. I feel that.
I don't have one. I don't have anything to prove.
I think you could do a post where you post the toilet after going to Taco Bell and say Taco Bell 1, me 0. That would be okay. I would be all right with that.
I'm glad we found the one the one exception to the rule.
Or, no, you could combine yours. Say tacos 1, me 0.
So you love tacos, you said. Me too.
All right, so please let us know which social media bugaboos that we missed. I think that was a pretty comprehensive list.
I think so, too. I think we touched on a lot of the things that make me angry.
All right, Coin. Do you know what time it is?
Let me see. I think it is time for Stumptown.
Oh, Stumptown. This is gonna wrap the pot up this week. We don't have any Girl Scout cookie survivors, so see if you can stump me. I've been stumped a few times in a row. So let's see if I can get back on.
I feel good about this one. It's an interesting one.
Okay.
All right, so with the NBA seemingly shut down for the foreseeable future, we lost out on a lot of major storylines like the scoring title, MVP, etc. Like we talked about last week, this season also saw us move even further into analytical basketball with more threes than ever. In the entire history of the NBA, there have been 4 seasons where a player made 300 or more three-pointers. 3 by Steph Curry, and last year with Harden, who made 378 total and attempted 1,028 threes.
Oh my gosh.
Curry's record of 402 three-pointers in a season, which was more than 5 a game, and he played, because he played only 79 games, that's why it was over 5 a game, but he also took 140 less threes than Harden took that season. When he made 402 threes, he was hitting at 45%.
That's absurd.
Ridiculous.
Absurd.
This year, there are /were 5 players on pace to break 300 three-pointers made.
Okay.
Which is, so this would be more than 3.6 a game, essentially.
Okay.
Name 4 of the 5. And I would say, just to get it out there right now. Curry is not one. I don't think he played enough games to meet the threshold.
Right. Name four of the five guys who were averaging basically over 3.5 threes a game.
Yes.
I'm going to go with Harden.
Yes.
I'm going to go with Trae Young.
No.
What? Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
How is that possible? That dude's averaging 30 points a game.
I don't know.
I got to go with Lillard then?
Yes.
How many strikes do I get? Three?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
The last three are kind of hard.
I'm going to go with my guy, Buddy Hield.
Yes. Okay. Great get. Good get.
Okay, I know that he takes a ton. He takes like 10 a game.
He hucks. Even from the bench, he was getting like 11 threes up a game, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so this is where it's going to get tricky. Who is making 3.5 threes a game? Is it Chris Middleton?
It is not Chris Middleton.
Dang, I'm down to two strikes left. Do I get any hints?
We have talked about one of the guys on this pod pretty frequently. And another one here, I'll give you one of them. Oh, they're both in the East and both in the Atlantic.
Okay, I don't know the divisions at all, but I'll try based on the East. So I don't think it's I don't know. I don't even have a guess.
You don't even have a guess?
No. I give up. I've been stumped.
Okay. I'm just going to let you say it on your own then. We talked about him a lot last week because he has a fantastic nickname. The Latvian Laser.
Ah, Bertans.
Davis Bertans on pace. And another, I think, I'm pretty sure he was in the three-point contest at least. Duncan Robinson.
Ah, okay. I think I could have known that. I could have got that one.
The only player of these five averaging less than 10 shots a game. So I think he's averaging like 9.7, and 9.1 of those are three-pointers.
That's Duncan Robinson?
Yeah.
I remember seeing he's shooting like 45% too, right?
He's at a wet. Yeah, he strokes. And he shoots like pretty high difficulty threes too.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, no, I gotcha.
Well done, buddy. Nice shout out for my guy, buddy.
Yeah, I was hoping you would get that one. The last two were very difficult. I'm not sure if I could have gotten there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that has been another round of Stumptown, and that has been another Rookie Show Pod. Please follow us at Rookie Show Pod on Twitter. please subscribe and share us with your friends. We don't tell you that enough, but
yeah, we have a very solid
fan base of probably 100 people that real diehard fans. We really appreciate the fans, but tell your friends about us, especially in this quarantine time. They need some content.
If you have nothing else to do, why not listen to the Rookie Show?
Why not listen to the Rookie Show? Thank you. Where can we follow you, Coin?
You can follow me at King Coin on both Instagram and Twitter. I've moved Frye videos to my home now, which is kind of weird. I gotta find a way to get creative with the Frye shots.
Yeah, you're running out of stuff, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. Where can we follow you, Noel?
You can follow me at DecreamFillin on Twitter. You can follow me at CTravisNoel. The C actually stands for Cam Newton. One word.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Cam Newton.
Cam Newton, Travis Noel. Yeah, that's all we got.
That's all we got. Another week in the books. Not bad.
Not bad. Hey, Goldfinger, play us out?
Oh, yes. I was trying to think. Nice. Hell yeah. All right. Later, everybody. Peace.